Blog Talk Radio.
Probably repeat it again next week because I'll be adding more to it. But the stages of grief is most on the web as well as some books, it indicates only five, but it's really six, and I'll tell you the ones that I have taught before in another. There is a group that is called Restoring Your Heart at the Greater Piney Grove Baptist Church where I facilitate this particular class. And there's a total of six in there. And I'm going to let you know the total number. It's denial, anger, bargain, sadness. Sadness is the one that most of the web does not include, sadness. And depression and acceptance. Tonight we're going to go over denial and anger. And by the way, before I get busy with that, we had our monthly meeting this past Sunday. We normally have it on a Saturday, but we had it on Sunday because most of us had different things going on Saturday morning. So we had a get-together, a meeting, and also, I wouldn't say a potluck dinner, but everybody brought something. And we had such a wonderful meal. It became a regular meal, different things that people brought. It was really very tasteful and enjoyable. We had a great, good crowd, and we had a couple of new widows that came, and they shared their story with us, and also we all shared a little bit for each other. And it was such a wonderful fellowship. And we all left. I was still there. Of course, it was at my home. They all left with something that was given by one or the other. Everybody talked about something different, but each story was each story that was told was encouraged someone there or something that they could relate to. So it was a wonderful meeting and get together on this past Sunday, and it was at from 4 to 6 p.m. And so I'm getting back to the stages of grief, denial, anger, bargaining, sadness, depression, and acceptance. Well, we're going to talk about denial and anger. And then I want to relate to one of the stories in The Widow's Touch regarding something that one of the widows experienced in their story. So I'm going to be reading that as well. Denial. No, it can't be. And disbelief. When you have lost a loved one, a very special loved one, you normally go into shock and denial. No, it can't be. Disbelief. Well, those who do not know how to grieve have been storing pain most of their lives and need to learn how to release it. Some people carry these pains for a long period of time. The more we understand about the grieving process, the easier it will be to just let it happen rather than to follow the natural instinct to fight it. Shock and denial, it pretty much goes together, because first you're in shock, and then after that, then you become, this immediate stage occurs immediately after the loss. You may appear to be in a trance state, feeling numb, are emotionless. Now, I felt numb. My whole body started not itching. It felt like my nerve went haywire after I came back from the hospital at the house. My whole body just became, it was just that I had no control. My nerves were just like itching. The whole body was just itching. My girlfriends that were there with me, they got some alcohol and started rubbing me down, because I just could not. My nerves were just going all over my body. So pretty much I went in a state of shock at that particular time. And later on, I went in denial, but I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Well, my sister expressed in her story that she felt like a zombie. We all feel different ways when we first hear about a loved one have transitioned. And we all react differently, and we all feel differently, but it's the same pain that we feel. And some people stay in these stages for years. I noticed this one of the widows that I met her once, and when her husband passed, she avoided. She was still in denial. She avoided anyone that was close to her and her husband. She didn't want to talk about it. And whenever she saw someone, she went the opposite direction. She would run away. She was in denial. She did not want to hear about, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. And she didn't want to hear none of those things. So she was in denial for quite some time. And like I said, we all deal with it differently. But it does become very difficult for us and when we are having to plan the funeral. Well, I went into a complete denial. In order for me to have to plan their funeral, I pretty much went in a state of being where I knew I had to get it done. So pretty much that's what I was focused on. I wasn't focused on that he was gone. I was focused on that I got to get this funeral done and get all the details and everything. So pretty much I was pretty much focused on that and just not thinking that who it was I was planning this funeral for. I was just more or less knowing that I had to plan this funeral. So that's the state of shock and denial that you can be in. And I'm sure that you can think back now what you went through and how you felt. Of course that there were lots of crying, of course, crying and shock of the news. Yeah, there were lots of tears. And some of us didn't want to be around anyone. We wanted just to be in maybe going into a room and not having to talk and have people coming over. I know at first I requested that my girlfriend, she contacted, I had a book with all of my friends and neighbors in it. Back then it was a cell phone. So I gave her the book where I had all the numbers. She called, and I requested her not to to have them to come over right then. You know, a lot of them cared about my husband and everything, but I just did not want to see anybody right then. I just wanted to have my moment to myself. And so none of the neighbors obeyed my request. I did have some of Al's best friend who came over anyway because they could not, because two of the guys here in the subdivision, they would go to breakfast whenever my husband was a fireman, so he was never off the same Friday every week. But whenever he was off on Fridays, the three of them would go out for breakfast. And they had went out for breakfast on Friday. And my husband passed on that Sunday morning. So when my girlfriend called and made some of the phone calls and called him, he just could not sit there. Just one second. Is my voice? Maybe I forgot to put this on speaker, so I hope that you guys were able to hear me. Hear me while I've been talking. I forgot to put it on speaker. But anyway, so he didn't want to hear about me not for him not coming over. He came over anyway because he couldn't understand that he just spent the 2 days before with my husband and he was okay. What happened between those 2 days? So, but I did not want to be around anyone that first, I would say the first 24 hours. And I know people cared and wanted to know what happened because they all saw my husband several days before he came home because he had worked, you know, they had worked 24 hours. But let's move on. But anyway, we all have different ways that we go in denial. Next week I'm going to also share some more ways that people do what has happened in other lives, what they have gone through, and some of the habits, not the habits, some of the things that they experienced when they first heard the news. I'll share some of those next week. But let's talk about the anger. anger. Who is responsible? These are questions we start having. Who is responsible? How did this happen? God, how could you let this happen? It is not fair. I can't go on without him or her anymore. So those are some of the questions that when we are angry, anger may be directed at a particular at several different sources. You may direct your anger at the unfairness of the situation because he or she was responsible for what occurred, or someone else they blame for the loss. Well, I blame my husband for a moment because I thought maybe because of the eating habits that's caused his heart attack. Our anger sometimes be directed at God for allowing the situation to happen, and most of the time that's one of the things that we get angry. We get angry at God. Why did he let this happen? How could he let this happen? It's not fair. And those are the questions that we experience. A person need to be honest about their feelings and express them to someone who is safe and supportive. It is good for you to have someone around you, a safe person, a person that you can share and have confidential information that you can share with that person, and that person can be very supportive. So, because when you're going through all these different things, you can't think. You don't know what to do. So if you have someone, if you have a very close friend or relative, you call them over because they are the ones that are going to help you through this first 48 hours. And because people are going to be calling, the phone's going to be ringing, they will be able to answer the telephone, so you won't have to answer all the questions and all the telephone calls. So always make sure that you have someone there to support you, because you're going to have questions, you're going to have anger, and like I said, yes, we do question God, because, you know, God is in control of everything. So we wonder why this had to happen now to my loved one. All of those questions, and I had some myself. So just know that, but these feelings are normal. You will go through all of these feelings, the denial, the anger. We're going to talk next week also about bargaining and sadness. Then the last two will be depression and acceptance. But we all go through the same thing over, and sometimes we go through it over and over because there is a you as you go, you begin here on the upside down you. You go pretty much, you go through different stages. And as you go up this upside down you, when you get to the top, you're getting better. You feel that you're getting better. But sometimes you go back to these same stages and you go right and you fall right back down to the bottom. And it's okay. In some of the discussion that we had on Sunday, I won't go in detail and say who it is or whatever, but many, two of the widows indicated that they were going through their third year of their loss. The other was 5 years. And what they felt that one that expressed the 3 year, her loss was just a week ago. It's an anniversary 3 years a week ago. And she, all of a sudden, she started feeling a certain way. And she couldn't understand it at first, but she realized that it had to have been because it's coming up 3 years. And she said she felt terrible. She felt all these emotions and feelings all over again. And the other that had was 5 years ago, she said she felt that she was doing well. but she went to a conference, and she went into this crying spell because something remind her of her husband, and she was just going into she was in this crying spell. So it you fall right back down sometimes, and like I say, it is okay. But if you fall down, it's so important that you get up and go forward again. And you're going to keep doing that from time to time. It's a normal thing. But just like the denial, just like the anger, yes, we want to blame our feelings. We want to blame somebody for what is happening because we don't want to believe it. But these are normal feelings. But the important thing is not to stay stuck, not to stay stuck in this in these feelings that hold 1 second here. I had something. Yes. We tend to sometimes stay in these stages for quite some time. When you suppress memories and emotions from a past trauma or loss, they are actually stuck in shock and denial until they finally begin to deal with the loss. It's so important that you deal with it, because it becomes unhealthy if you don't deal with it, if you store it up inside and don't let it out. It's important that you release it. Talk to someone about it. If you don't, if you want to go to a counselor, I always recommend if you can't deal with it yourself or around anyone that you are talking with, if you need to see a counselor, please do so. Don't get where it becomes very unhealthy. And I also want to read one of the stories. It's a short story about how she dealt with her situation. She was very emotional, upset, and she had questions. She questioned God as well. She questioned why was this happening and how she was going to be able to deal with it. The name of the story is I Was Forced to Take Charge. This was written by Rose Bone. She lives in Decatur. And I'm going to read this. And her husband's name was William. When William transitioned in June of 2004, my life changed so many levels. I asked myself so many times, what's going to happen to me? Those are questions. How am I going to feel without having William to make decisions, talk with, or just how will it feel on the other side of my bed, which we share for 34 years? I felt lost. Grieving was something I couldn't do because I was forced to take charge of everything around me, and I had no clue where to start. William was the one that took care of everything. Now it seems like I am drowning. When I stopped trying to fix everything and just surrendered to God, that when I saw his work, he put people in my path for a reason. God reminded me we are never alone. Look at all those questions that she had. I'm sure you had many questions also. Dealing with that, you have to take charge for the first time because your William was no longer there, and you had to take charge. She had to take charge, and she felt that at the beginning that she didn't have time to grieve because she just had to take charge and do the things that she needed to do because her husband was no longer there. And she also expressed that she can't remember who brought her to the next chapter meeting. Said, I am so glad that they did because I met other people that had lost their loved ones. I listened to their stories on how they were dealing with grief. God knew I needed to hear their story. I needed to hear how they received strength to move on and how to be a moral support to someone else. She mentioned the scripture, Galatians 6:2. It states, share each other's burden and in this way obey the law of Christ. And more or less, the scripture said that by her being there, they were sharing each other's burden. They were sharing what they were going through. And she felt that that was comfort to her to know that. God knows what we need. She goes on, when we need it and how we can bless someone else. I now know that the next chapter was the connection I needed. Here we are working together through various stages of grief. We can help each other with just a word of a listening ear. That is so important. That's why it's so good to have that safe person, that person that you can always have confidence in, and also pray with. Get a pray partner. If you don't have a pray partner, get one. Someone that you can trust and someone that will listen to you and pray with you. It is so important that you can have someone to let off those feelings, those steam, or whatever you're going through, those emotions. And she goes on to say, we can help each other with just a kind word, a listening ear. Through it all, God gets the glory. Yes, God always gets the glory because he puts resources and people together to help us through this journey of grief. Whatever you may be going through, God is always there. That's his way of letting you know that he is there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So just knowing that, yes, we go through those normal stages of grief. Those are normal stages of life. But it's important that we release it. We have to forgive and release those thoughts because God is not the fault. I know we blame him, so why, you know, all these whys. But once again, just like I said last week, everyone has to die, and everyone has a different time. So we have to grab hold of those thoughts and knowing that God is right there. He'll get you through. He's gotten you through other things in your life. He's not going to give up on you yet. So just knowing that these are normal feelings, but the importance is believing in God and knowing that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He loves you, and he loves you forever. That song with Jason Nelson, he loves you forever, not just for a little while. And don't think that he doesn't love you during this time, that this journey that you're traveling right now. He does. And if you would just listen or watch things, you'll see what he's doing. He loves you. He's putting all the dots together to get you through this time in your life. And that's all I have for tonight, but I have many announcements, so I only have a couple of minutes. Let me get my paper with all the announcement on it. I am going to continue to talk about the stages of grief throughout the month of June. We will not be on the air in the month of July. We're going to be total sabbatical. Every year we do sabbatical, no meetings, but we are not going to be on the air for the month of July. Our church normally does nothing in the month of July, so we're going to do sabbatical. There's things that Sheila and I need to do, and so we're going to use that month to do a lot of things. I want you to save this date. Put this down after you leave the air. September 21st is our 16th anniversary. Please save that date and also tell others. We don't have all of the details as yet. That's why we are using July for our planning time and getting it finalized. So please save that date, September 21st. That's a Saturday. I don't have the exact time as yet. We normally have it in the morning, but it's going to be a little bit later. But we'll have more details on by. Let me see if there's anything else that I have. That's pretty much it. I wanted to say those things. and be blessed, and continue to tell others about the show and also the book. Like, people are purchasing the book now, so it evidently is helping others. We had someone that read the book right away and was very encouraged by a lot of the stories. She could relate to some of the stories and what she's going through. So please encourage others. There's so many people are losing their loved one, and it is hard to go through it by yourself. So be blessed and have a great week. Tune in again next week, the same time, from 10 to 10:30 p.m., and I will continue on the stages of grief. I'll have more next week, but I'm studying for have a quiz. I'm taking this class, and I'm studying for the quiz, so I didn't spend a lot of time on other information that I wanted to share, but hopefully I'll have that more, talk more about that next week, and say a little prayer that I'll be able to pass this quiz, because it is hard. It's getting harder. As the class goes on, it gets harder and harder. And I'll be up there for a while tonight to work on it, and again tomorrow. So be blessed and have a great week, and tune in again. And knowing that the next chapter is there for you, we are here. And if you want to call me at any time, my number is 770-981-9118. Good night.
Turn me around any place to love on me, and I will try.